Welcome to Urbana 06. This is our first news conference, and we will be having news conferences each afternoon at 3:30. And there's a list of daily news conferences posted on the website, urbana.org. We have a list here. They're in the press packets, and Christine Whitnable also has copies if you need to find out who's going to be at the various news conferences that are coming up. And we can also arrange one-to-one interviews for various plenary speakers if that's of interest as well. I know for some of you it is. Jim Tebbe, the director of Urbana University's vice president for missions, has another speaking conflict, and so he will be a little bit late. He'll come in, I think, around 3:45 or so. So we'll go ahead and start out and catch up with him when he gets here. On the at the table here, we have Alec Hill, the president of InterVarsity USA, Jerry Rodman, the president of InterVarsity Canada. And those are the two groups that are hosting Urbana 06. Jim Tebbe, as I said, will be here shortly. Ajit Fernando was scheduled to be here, and I'm not sure if he will be coming in late or what the situation is with him, but hopefully you'll have a chance to speak with him at some point or another. He is the plenary expositor, and his full-time job is director of Youth for Christ in Sri Lanka, and he will be doing the Bible exposition during Urbana. And also on, at the table is Donna Dong, the director of multi-ethnic, multicultural ministry for InterVarsity Canada. I'm going to allow Alec to give an opening statement, and Alec, if you could introduce Jerry when you're finished, and then we'll sort of take an assessment and see if Jim has arrived, or at that point also give Donna an opportunity to speak if she wants to, and then afterwards we'll have question and answer. So if you're going to give a statement, come up to the podium, and then we'll move the microphones to the table for a question and answer.
So I will speak very slowly so Jim Tebbe has time to get here. Well, it's great to have you here. Welcome to Urbana 2006, InterVarsity's 21st Student Mission Convention. I have a short statement I'd like to read, and we will get to know each other fairly well this week. Over the course of the next 5 days, you'll hear a lot of talking about calling. We will be exploring together what it means to be called and what it means to live lives that are worthy of that calling. That's the text. The theme is Ephesians 4:1. We're also, when we're talking, we're transformed by the grace of God. What are we transformed into? Transformation is another word you're going to be hearing a lot of. God seeks to generate in our lives, including those of students, soul transformation. And because we seek soul transformation, a vital part of Urbana program involves calling students to live according to scriptural truth, to examine their own hearts and lives and motives, and to decide that their lives will not be the same as when they came to this convention. This transformation is manifest when they go out in the world and they seek to meet the needs of hurting people. And when they're not just hearers of the word, those who are taking that in, but they are doing the word. Ajit, come on up. We have a seat for you. Urbana has been, and we pray will continue to be, a watershed event for thousands of students who make life-altering decisions here. Talk to any missions organizations, any church, and you will hear Urbana 67. Urbana, I mean, I hear stories about Urbana, you know, 52 and 53. So the stories are go on and on. We sponsor Urbana every 3 years because we want to reach every generation of students. College students and recent graduates are forming habits and priorities that will shape their lives for the next 60 years. That's why we are so impassionately committed to students and to the university. If we can effectively present the case for global missions now, they will make lifelong commitments by going, giving, and praying. And the ripple effects of thousands of these decisions will truly change the world. This event, we feel, is not just another conference. Urbana conventions have for generations now been a catalyst for motivating thousands of people to make lifelong commitments to cross-cultural missions. InterVarsity USA, InterVarsity Canada, and JBU, the French-speaking movement, have been privileged to steward Urbana since 1946. So I want to welcome you all, and particularly the members of the press. We really are glad you're here, and we hope that you'll find lots of stories of students who the Lord is transforming to be world changers. These things start small, but our hope and our prayer is that years from now, the mission leaders of tomorrow will be the engineering students, the English majors, the med students, the artists, and the political science students who made commitments this week. Thanks for coming. And Jerry, President of InterVarsity Canada, it's yours.
Again, may I say welcome from the Canadian perspective. We're glad that the press is here. This is a record delegate recruitment year for Canada. We have 2,150, we believe, delegates that have registered. Last Urbana, we had 1,300. We have over a 50% increase. That's a very significant reality for us. We believe that God's hand is upon the students that are coming. We did better, I believe, at our recruitment, but there is something additional to that that we believe is going on with students in terms of their spiritual life. They're coming excited. They're ready to hear from God. They're ready to take the next step with God. We also have a leadership track that we're excited about. We have 220 selected leaders of our 60 campuses across Canada that we are on. And they're actually here working together with their staff, asking the question, what do you want us to do different on our campuses that we might reach out to people that don't know God in a really relevant way? And we're willing to turn everything upside down to do it. That's a, you know, for Canadians, we love our traditions. So to have that perspective is pretty exciting. Like InterVarsity US, our commitment is the transformation of youth and students and graduates into fully committed followers of Jesus. We want to see men and women who are absolutely devoted and are willing to take on challenges that are incredible and turn their life upside down, stretch their experience of who God is. And we're excited to be here. Urbana, as Alec mentioned, was in Toronto in 1946. And since then, the 60 years that Urbana has been present, Canada, it's a very significant conference for Canada. We, if you know not much about Canada, we're a very, very low Christian community. We probably have, in the evangelical community, it's less than 10%. And it's a very difficult place to engage. And it's a very postmodern country, as the U.S., but probably arguably has been longer in postmodernism than the U.S. has. So reaching the students in this generation, both in high school, which we have a high school work, as well as in the university, is critical to our future as a Christian movement in Canada. So thank you. Pray for our students and our staff as they really engage in God's Word.
We are glad to welcome back to Urbana Ajit Fernando, the Director of Youth for Christ in Sri Lanka. He has been the Bible expositor in several previous Urbanas. And Ajit, if you would like to come up and speak for just a minute on what Urbana means to you, and then we'll open it up for questions afterwards. We're kind of stalling a little bit till Jim Tebby gets here also. So come on up.
Urbana was actually very important in my own growth as a Christian, because my father used to get the compendia that they used to produce. And I used to read John Stott's Bible expositions at Urbana when I was a student. And that was one of the, John Stott's life and ministry and all of that was one of the things that got me excited about Bible exposition. So Urbana has had a very important part in my own growth. And I really wondered whether it's appropriate for me to accept this invitation. I'm 58 years old, and I was wondering whether, you know, shouldn't we have a younger person to do these expositions? And Jim said one of the things they're hoping for is that, you know, that people will get excited about the Bible and that there's a high emphasis on the Bible in this Urbana, which really has excited me. The place that the scriptures are having here has been very exciting. And so I suppose the thing that I'm praying for from my own contribution is that people will get excited, young people will get excited about the Bible, that truth is certainly the most enduring thing, one of the most enduring things about Christianity. And so I'm just hoping that, you know, the Bible expositions and the discussions that they have in the small groups of other the passages that I don't teach from Ephesians, they will be discussing in small groups, so that they will end up, you know, realizing what a wonderful book the Bible is. So that's, I suppose, what I'm hoping for most from Urbana.
And also with us for today's news conference, as I introduced earlier, is Donna Dong, the Director of Multi-Ethnic, Multicultural Ministry for InterVarsity Canada. Donna, would you like to come up and say a few words?
Slowly, eh? I waited 3 years to go to my first Urbana. I was a student at the University of California at Berkeley during the student riot years. And the 67 crowd of Urbana students came back. And they were, as a brand new Christian, I was just so struck by their intentionality and focus and passion and their desire to share the gospel on the Cal Berkeley campus. And I said to myself, what is this conference? Where is it? And when is it? Oh, 3 years away, and I put it onto my mental calendar. And sure enough, 70 was my first student experience of Urbana Student Missions Conference. I've been to every Urbana since 1970, and I count it a privilege and a joy to do that. Last Urbana, on a personal note, I actually had cancer for that year, 2003, and I just prayed that God would give me enough health and strength that after a year of surgery and chemotherapy and radiation therapy, that I actually did wind up at Urbana 2003. What I appreciate about, I think, my own life with students, the last 5 years among Canadian students and previous to that, 25 years with American students of all kinds of backgrounds, Asian, Black, Hispanic, is the privilege to come alongside them at the end of an Urbana and ask, what did you hear God's voice say to you? And now that you head home, what will you do about what God said to you? And then to be there on the campuses in North America, both in Canada and the US, walking alongside them to nurture the vision, the passion, whatever God births in them during an Urbana student mission. I have the privilege of giving the talk on the last evening. I am doing something that I think is miraculous, summing up the book of Ephesians, which we will be immersed in. And I figure it took the Apostle Paul all these words to say what he had to say, and then to try to sum it up in 20 minutes, it's going to be quite, well, let's pray for a miracle, okay? Because I am convinced that, as Ajit said, to send students off with truth, with true reality, what a tremendous gift we could give this generation of students as they return home after this Urbana. Thank you.
Cal Berkeley is still well represented at Urbana 06. Alec announced last night that Cal Berkeley is one of the three chapters, InterVarsity chapters, that has the largest representative of 91. University of Texas at Austin has 121, and University of Illinois campus at Champaign-Urbana, where Urbana has traditionally been held, has 134. And those are the three largest InterVarsity chapters in attendance at Urbana. There are a lot of people here, though, that do not have an affiliation with InterVarsity. At this point, we'll open it up for questions, and when Jim Tebbe gets here, we'll allow him to take over and dominate from there on out.
Can I make one comment about Jeeves' age? John Sod was invited to 2003 Urbana at age 84, so I think you still
have. Are there any questions? Go ahead.
What are the delegate numbers this time?
Do we have those, or is Jim going to bring those?
December 23rd would be about 22,200. We're expecting some walk-ups. Our record registration was in 2000. We had 20,700, so we're at least 1,500 more than we've ever been.
Great.
And that was a four-year period because of Y2K. So we are thrilled by the attendance.
If you could also identify yourself when you ask the question so that the people who are sitting at the table know where you're from, that would be helpful.
How is the change to Greg Yoder, Regional Work News, how is the change of venue obvious, but how are the change of venue helped Urbana in terms of participants and perhaps even getting people here in a more cost-effective way?
Well, you guys came further from Canada. I mean, we tried to, just one preparatory comment, so we tried to be within 3 hours of Champaign-Urbana because two-thirds of the people drive here, and the feeling was we didn't want to get too much further away. So, Jerry and Donna, you guys want to?
For us, it actually, I don't believe, is making a considerable difference in terms of the drive. In fact, if arguably, it was easier. But I think the motivation to be at this Urbana is beyond whether it's close or not. As Canadians, they just keep coming. They were registering last night.
What do you attribute the 50% increase in Canadian students coming?
Several things. As an InterVarsity movement, we decided to be far more intentional about our recruitment, and particularly one area that we've been working with is viral marketing.
And you want to explain viral marketing?
sending viruses to LA. Yeah, right. Yeah. Should we do that too? Viral marketing, some of you are probably very familiar with it, is that you basically have an email, you send it out, and the students send it out to their friends. Yeah. It's sort of like a modern version of the chain letter. And it really has worked quite well. The other reality that you really can't measure is that I believe God's hand is on this generation. It's beyond all of our intention. We have great plans. We've done good work. But it's like an extra bonus on top of it.
But when people ask me about students, this generation of millennials are just fabulous. They want to go. They're optimistic. They even like their parents generally. But I mean, they're missional in their focus and their orientation, and they're global. And we love this generation of students.
Neil Stavem with Skylight Radio. Given that this generation maybe has more a mission focus, has that meant changing the tracks at all, or are things done maybe with a different intention at this Urbana compared to past?
Well, we have, as you may or may not know, there's an HIV and AIDS tract. There's a ministry to the urban slum communities, and open for business, seeing mission through the lens of a business mind. And I think that has been a great asset to our students because they want to know, how does my faith have reality in my everyday life? And I mean, that's always been there, but I would say these particular students are more keenly in touch with that reality.
I would say if my generation separated the two of justice and proclamation, this generation, that's a false dichotomy completely. I was in Egypt, in Cairo, two summers ago in a garbage village with 13 of our students, and it's a seamless slip between saying and doing, and it's wonderful. It's the gospel, mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. great. Mm-hmm. And Jim Tebbe has arrived mm-hmm. with his entourage. Mm-hmm. Jim, come on up here, Jim. We've been keeping the seat warm for you.
Another interesting fact that, and I think it's similar in the U.S., and Donna might comment, is that in Canada, we actually, 40% of our delegates are Asian Canadians.
That is a significant increase. There's a real heart after God. Donna would have anything to say. Why?
I think we're at a place in history where many churches to whom we may have sent missionaries over many years, they have, I feel like there's a spiritual maturity that not only have our people receivers of the gospel, but want to be partners and communicators of the gospel. So I think the Chinese church, the Korean church in North America, both in the U.S. and Canada, the South Asians, there's just tremendous desire and missional heart's concern that I think results in some of the large numbers that we're seeing, certainly from Canada.
Let me set Jim up with a comment. In 2003, I think we were about 55% ethnic white. And I don't know what exactly the percentage is for this, why I'm setting you up. But when you see this convention, you'll just be amazed by the, not only the cross-cultural, but the ethnic diversity. It really is, it has a feeling of Revelation 7. It's remarkable. Jim, where we're heading this time?
Yeah, 60% are white, so it's a little different than before. So 40% are non-white, 60% are white. That would be what our statistics are right now. I don't know if you gave the numbers, 22,256 registrations as of the 23rd. Some attrition from that, and then there'll be walk-ons, and what we've heard is that there are more walk-ons than we expected, being in St. Louis, so we will know more about exact numbers into the wee hours of tomorrow morning on that. Another statistic that if you're interested, in a pre-conference survey, we asked the question, why are you coming to Urbana? So what's the motivation of students? Why is it that they come? And there were 8 responses that we offered. And the top 4 responses, and you could answer more than one, so you could give more than one answer. 72% of the delegates indicated that they've come to Urbana to seek God's will for their lives. 49 to learn about missions. 49% said, pardon me, to learn about missions. And 43% to learn about what God is doing in the world. And 39% to experience Urbana. And then the numbers dropped way off. The others weren't really significant. But 39% to experience Urbana. I would have actually thought that that would be higher, because it seemed to me that this is one of the motivations as I talk to students, that they hear about the event and want to experience it, and that would be higher. But in fact, we have a very serious group of students who are keen on what they want to do. And as we heard that, I was glad that our theme for the convention was You Have a Calling. And on the outside of the Bibles, we have written, Live a Life Worthy of the Calling, and our emphasis is on calling, because that seems to be what the delegates are most looking for.
We gave each speaker an opportunity to give a little statement at the beginning of the news conference, Jim, so if there's anything else that you want to share before we go back to the question and answer, you're welcome to do that.
Well, having not heard what the others are, it's a little hard to know what to say. I'm really sorry. Exhibitors, there's probably going to be more than 1,800. They had 1,800 tags, and they were running low. And the hall upstairs was filled, and they were coming in late. I thought it began at 3 o'clock. It didn't begin until 3:30. So, and then they were still drifting in, and I was supposed to speak to them. So that's what the delay was. So there was a good number up there. I don't know quite what to say. I mean, if you prompt
me. 6 more questions. Maybe that's the safe thing.
Okay, all right. 6 more questions.
John Block, Moody Radio, Chicago. You say 1,800 exhibitors. How many missions organizations? Like last time it was close to what, 300?
Last time actually it was probably 254. This time it's 270, so this would be the largest number that they've had. Of those, 60 would be educational institutions. And there are 400 booths. The whole exhibit hall is filled. We had a waiting list. And so there's always last-minute dropouts, and so there isn't one empty space that's been filled. That doesn't count the InterVarsity Press area, which is a large bookstore, probably the largest bookstore largest number of books in the Midwest right now. I mean, it's just a huge number of Christian books in the Midwest. And then there's a large AIDS exhibit. We've been in partnership with World Vision on that's in there. That's an AIDS experience that you can go through. That doesn't count that, because that would have taken, that took about 70 booth spaces, I guess, about around 70, equivalent of what would have been 70 on that. So there's a lot that's in the exhibit hall there.
Steve Lawson, Charisma Magazine. How did you, tell me a little bit about the process of deciding the new tracks this year, the AIDS track, the slum track. There's a lot of certainly you had a lot of different emphases. How did you go about choosing these and why?
When we began the process coming out of the last Urbana, we asked around at different places as to what were considered to be some of the major missiological challenges or issues that are facing us today. And two things emerged that we thought were really quite important, and this is in discussion with a couple of different places and then in reading. But one of them was AIDS and how the church engages with AIDS. And the second was the whole urbanization of what's happening in the world today. More than half the world's population now lives in urban centers, and yet much of our missiological imagery and models is rural. And so thus comes the emphasis of the city, and then moving to a place like St. Louis, which is a city that's finding itself again and it has urban issues, it really seemed appropriate to have an emphasis on the city. And then AIDS was one of the challenges. And we chose that. I mean, there are other challenges, but we chose that one in particular for this convention. Right now in the AIDS track, there's about 500 students or delegates that are signed up to be in residence there. So they'll do the Bible studies together, and they'll be part of a community. But the actual seminars are open for the broader audience. And then on the night of the 29th, we'll have a special session where we focus on AIDS in particular. And so there'll be a number of different things that come in, and then there'll be an opportunity for response from that.
A second part to the answer, the response would be, we have people in InterVarsity who are rather entrepreneurial, so business as mission kind of grew organically from our staff. They came forward with this idea. And I think what we're going to see in 09 and future conferences will be more of staff who come up with an idea, and then they'll have to get approved, of course. So it's both deductive and inductive.
That's right. And the business's mission is—it's one of the ones that I'm most excited about. I mean, I just think that I remember when we began mission work with the agency I was with up in Kyrgyzstan, Central Asian Republics. There was all this excitement about the openness to the gospel and all of these things that could happen, and the church just exploded in the city that had been one of the most closed cities in the former Soviet Union. It used to be called Frunze after a general in the Soviet military. They changed it to Bishkek to make it Kyrgyz in its actual name. And when we went to visit in 2001, there were 41 churches in the city of Bishkek, which had been the place where they trained the KGB and where they did armaments and where they tested nuclear submarine missiles in this lake that was nearby, Lake Ishikul. And boy, you couldn't get a foreigner into the place. And yet here it was wide open, and the churches were exploding and growing. But what was the need? Wasn't for evangelists who had to learn the language and find their way, but was for businesses so that the people who became Christians could stay and could build up the church there. And this thing, business's mission, I just think is huge. I think it's something that the Western church has to offer in the developing world for missions in a really significant way, kingdom businesses.
Peter Helson, New York Seminary. Alec, you said your generation separated proclamation and justice, and this next generation sees them as a seamless unity. And my question to all of you is, why was this hard for your generation, and then since many of you have been here for many decades, why is this next generation bringing them together?
I think I'll start. Many of us were the legacy of the 30s and 40s with a split, at least in American evangelicalism, which was very artificial in that way. And I think our generation has worked hard to minimize that, and I think that has had effect as this generation has come along. I mean, I don't want to take credit for it. That sounded a little too self-congratulatory. But, I mean, I became a Christian. I remember working with World Relief and doing a lot of justice things and kind of going against the grain. There were a lot of us who did that. I look at my daughters. I just don't see any tension at all. So anybody else want to jump on that?
I agree with Ali. I think I'm part of that same old generation. I think when I became a Christian, I was aware that I had entered into an ongoing argument. So you were either, you know, interested in personal gospel, personal salvation versus social justice, social action. And I feel like it was probably in our generation that as things like Urbana, I remember being challenged about racism in North America, that it just seemed like as we search the scriptures, is there that artificial divide? And so I think that God has led us into a new theologizing, a rethink of what is the gospel, and we are seeing things that were very hard and fought through sweat and blood and tears sometimes. This new generation inherits that. It feels like, I mean, when I talk to students, they go, yeah, what's the problem?
Of course, these things go together. Ajith, I'm curious from a Sri Lankan perspective, yeah, how you not only view, say, North American culture, but global Christianity on this issue.
Yeah, I think our people have not been, they're more used to integration than perhaps in the West, so it has not been such a problem until recently, actually. We have a new problem because if you're doing social work, I'm not talking about justice issues as much as relief and things like that, and if you're preaching the gospel, then people say you're bribing people into becoming Christians. So in our part of the world, it's a new era in that we've had to separate. I think there was one generation that said it was social action versus evangelism, and then it became social action and evangelism, and now it's been social action distinct from evangelism, simply because people are saying that if you give people things and then preach the gospel, you're bribing them. And I think there is some validity to that, because the poor they have lost their sense of identity and they haven't a religion to fight for. And so for money, they will be willing to change religions. So I think it might be a good thing for us to, you know, so it's like we have two different organizations. I work for Youth for Christ. The Youth for Christ does the proclamation part, and we have another organization that does the social justice work and the social action work, simply because we have to separate the two. So it's a new scenario that has come with a lot of attacks on evangelism, saying that we are buying old people.
The other thing I'd add to it too, I think we're going to have Ajith. I find in the student generation a desire to live out that their faith is coming from the inside out. So sometimes I think we would do some issues of social justice and we would do a program of evangelism that came alongside. And that after a while, somehow our being got separated from our doing. And I think in this generation, there's a great deal of desire to be authentic, and that my faith is birthed and it moves into my action. And there's much more aliveness, I think, in people's faith. And out of that becomes a lot of questioning by those that are receiving care. So I think there's some reality to that.
Alex, question.
Alex Club, Presbyterian Record, Canada. In the 60 years since Urbana started, we've seen this amazing shift in global Christianity. And yet, Urbana is still in the heartland of the USA. That's where it happens. General question for any of you that want to take it. How is Urbana responding to new post-colonial realities in the world?
I can have a go at that. I think that one of the things that we would say in Urbana is it's not a world missions convention, but it's a missions convention for North Americans, Canada and the U.S. By that we mean Canada and the U.S., and that we believe that everyone is to be part of God's mission, and our job is to challenge the churches and this generation of young people with that particular challenge in Scripture. So it isn't a world convention. We're not trying to be this for everybody in the world. Having said that, Lindsay Brown of the IFES has said on a couple of occasions, and I think you'll see it in the Urbana today, a quote, and I've heard it in a different way. He said that in history, I believe Urbana will have gone down as doing more for missions in other parts of the world than it has even coming out of North America and the missionaries that it sent. And by that, he means that it spawned other missions conferences. The Urbana today mentions that there's five that they know of that are coming between 2006 and 2009. We know of nine that are with the IFES, and we know of about 20. And most of them, in one way or another, are modeling themselves after Urbana. So at this conference, we actually have a conference director's track For people who are interested in running missions conferences in other places, and they'll be going around and sort of seeing what's involved in running missions conferences. So that would be one thing.
Where are those taking place?
The conference directors track? Oh, where are some of them taking place? We have Rwanda, which will be one of the first in French-speaking. We've had them in, if I remember right, it's they're talking in the article, they're mentioning Kenya, and they're mentioning Colombia, and they're mentioning Nigeria.
Brazil
is another. Nepal is another. Bangladesh is one. It's surprising where they're going. And all of these are like 500 or more. At the last Urbana conference, we had one of these missions directors track, which we handled actually rather badly. We did a bad job of it. We didn't plan it well, and by the time I got around to speaking at it on the last day, very few people were there. But there was one young Mexican engineer who was working with the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students, the COMPA group in Mexico, who was there assiduously taking notes and following everything. And within 2 years, they put on a conference of over 1,000 students in Mexico, and he was the person who was doing it. He was a businessman. He wanted to go down there and do that, and was very, very interested. And so that's one of the things that we've done. The other thing that we're really interested in doing is trying to understand what is North America's role in the shift that's happening in global Christianity. And it's a huge question. And I think in the past, Urbana has had the model that on the plenary session, you present the challenge, and we know what it is, and here's the challenge. And the seminars then tell you the way to go and how you go about doing it. And the exhibit hall then gives the vehicle through which you can go. So here's the agencies that you can go with. And we're in a position now that's much more one of inquiry. And I think that it takes another generation, a new generation of people to see, what is it? What are the new paradigms? And what is it that God's saying to us as to how we engage with this world? And I think that we're not so clear that we have the answers. This is what it has to be. But rather, with the Word of God informing us about who we are, what is it then that can be done in the world? And so it's much more with the state of inquiry that we're coming at this. Now, I think that there's some hints as to what some of those things can be, and people like Oscar Murillo will actually be speaking on this very topic in our plenary sessions. You want to talk with him from Nairobi Chapel in Kenya. And I believe that some of them lie, for instance, in this area of business, the Open for Business track. I think that's something that the West has to offer right now that's quite useful, and there are other things as well. But this is we're in a position of inquiry much more than we're absolutely sure. Follow us, folks. Position. Yeah.